Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 421. And there of the fourth stanza, from strength to strength thy children dear, go forward till they all appear in Zion's courts, God's holy mountain. Oh, how delightful, God of grace, the paths of those that seek thy face, and what follows. Psalter 421, the fourth stanza.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in 1 John 2, the verses 1 through 17. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 John 2, the first 17 verses. My little children, these things write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which ye had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Thus far the scripture reading. We hope to remember in prayer Mrs. Nell Van Harten, who has been admitted to the Calgary Hospital by renewal with serious concerns concerning her swallowing, and Natalie Van Leer, the 9-year-old daughter of Mr. and Mrs. Quinn and Margaret Van Leer, who was in the Lethbridge Hospital and being prepared or undergoing surgery. Let us ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord, when thou wast given us and our children a place in thy house, in this evening hour, then how good thou art. A difference with other ones that could not come up. We commend unto thee the widow that was readmitted to a larger hospital with serious concerns. We humbly ask thee, if it may please thee, to help the physicians, and that there may be means that may be blessed, and above all for the saving of her never-dying soul. A young daughter in the hospital being prepared, or perhaps at this moment undergoing surgery. Lord, help the physicians. May the means be blessed. Remember her in her young life. Not the first time she underwent surgery. And may it be sanctified. We commend unto thee all the afflicted ones under the physician's care. with fears and with concerns. May the means be blessed, the callings and afflictions sanctified. We commend unto thee those that struggle with depression, with their loved ones. Oh, Lord, do remember and watch over them. We remember all the mourning ones in our midst. We remember the elderly ones in our care home with those that lovingly care for them, those that may still go in and out. Toward the end of this week, when thou spares and when thou granteth it, then to old widows, one hopes to remember her 88th birthday, and another one her 92nd birthday, being the oldest member of the congregation. We commend them both unto thee, and especially their never-dying souls. Remember the crosses, remember the burdens, remember the scars, those that are overwhelmed. May we be given to bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. But Lord, not only to remember the ailments and the sicknesses of the body, but to be mindful of our sin-sick soul. Where shall it be well? Then we need to come under the healing hands of the great physician, the Lord Jesus Christ. And to that end, the necessity of the uncovering work of thy Holy Spirit, and to be given to learn and experience how desperately sick that we are, that we are sick unto death, and that from our side no hope and no expectation. Oh, the need to become new creatures in Christ Jesus, for the old things to pass away, where all things may become new. 'Tis only in part here below, and there is a people upon the earth that know of that holy warfare and those times where it seems that it goes the wrong way, but a privilege when they may be given to cry unto thee. Then every service, then we are called to listen, whether we belong to that people, a call to examine our hearts very honestly and very closely, because it is a matter of death and life. We are traveling through this time to a never-ending eternity, when thou granteth it on the coming Lord's Day, then the sacrament of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ hopes to be administered in the midst of the congregation. And then it is a week of examination and also a week of preparation. To that end, may thy light shine brightly and clearly for those who have received a wedding garment, because we read in the scriptures that there was one that had not a wedding garment, and that is the wedding garment which has been merited by thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and which is granted by the Holy Spirit and embraced and put on by the arms of faith. Lord, to that end, then we ask thee, wilt thou thyself set a watch about thy holy table, and to bring and draw those that have a divine right, and that the rest may remain in their seats. But, O Lord, that for them may become so distressful and so unbearable to stand outside, to that end may it please thee to grant those holy exercises concerning divine realities, to examine our hearts and our lives in the context of thy holy word. Oh, to receive that hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Oh, to belong to those poor in spirit and those mourners in Zion on account of their many and great sins against such love. Oh, the need for those further leadings, because the King has declared, do this in remembrance of me. Necessary, a received saving knowledge of thy dear Son. Ah, may it be that thou may grant burning hearts concerning the things of the Lord. Lord, we commend unto thee thy church all over the earth, the established churches. Do continue to remember the branch, the leaders, the readers. Grant thy help and grant thy richest blessing. We remember our theological school, the instructors and the students. We commend unto thee the persecuted church, the Jewish people with the enmity against them, mission work, our mission field, that people in Bolivia and in Peru, wilt thou also provide a worker for them. Remember those that bring thy word to the far corners of the earth. We commend unto thee land and country, leaders federally, provincially, in the cities, also in this town. Ah, may it please thee to be mindful of our community with the workings of thy Holy Spirit in the hearts of young and old in this serious and solemn time. Lord, in this evening hour, may our help truly be in the name of the Lord, which made heaven and earth, in the opening of thy precious testimony. And may thy word go forth with power divine, that it may before the coming of thy kingdom the glory of thy name, O to that end. Do bless thy holy word in the family circles, in the church. Do help the consistory in the manifold labors, and bless also our Christian school with thy indispensable blessing. Do pardon us of all of our sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. Psalter 428, the stanzas 4, 5, and 6. Thy precepts have I hid within my heart, lest I should stray and fall into transgression. O, teach thou me, and unto me impart thy statutes, for a permanent possession, and what follows. Psalter 428, the stanzas 4, 5, and 6.
Thank you.
and this evening hour, with the help of the Lord, we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 34, the question and answers 92 through 95. Question 92, what is the law of God? Answer, God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And the Ten Commandments, they have been read this morning. Question 93, how are these commandments divided? Answer, into two tables, the first of which teaches us how we must behave towards God, the second, what duties we owe to our neighbor. Question 94, what doth God enjoin in the first commandment? Answer, that I as sincerely as I desire the salvation of mine own soul, avoid and flee from all idolatry, sorcery, soothsaying, superstition, invocation of saints, or any other creatures, and learn rightly to know the only true God, trust in Him alone, with humility and patience, submit to Him, expect all good things from Him only, love, fear, and glorify Him with my whole heart, so that I renounce and forsake all creatures, rather than commit even the least thing contrary to His will. Lord's Day number 34, the Holy Law of God, and then in a week of preparation, with four thoughts in the first place, the precious introduction to the law. Secondly, the threefold purpose of the law. Thirdly, thankfulness in the mirror of the law. And in the fourth place, the careful examination by the first commandment of the law. The holy law of God, and that for a week of preparation, the precious introduction to the law, the threefold purpose of the law, thankfulness in the mirror of the law, and the careful examination by the first commandment of the law. Beloved congregation, the Apostle Paul has written to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 11:28 and 29, so let a man examine himself and eat of that bread and drink of that wine. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. Oh, what an important examination and a mistake in this respect. That is such a great mistake. And if there is no rectifying, an eternal mistake. Because when a soul may attend the Holy Supper of the Lord, then he is declaring that he can meet his Maker. Then such a one is declaring that he can die. And to that end, may the weight thereof be impressed upon the hearts of young and old. We are hastening and we are traveling to eternity, and we cannot appear before the Lord as we are born. Then matters need to be experienced in our hearts and in our lives. We need to become new creatures in Christ Jesus. In this evening, to consider the holy law of God in the part of gratitude. And then when we consider, because the law of God engraven upon Adam and Eve's heart, but it was pronounced spoken from Mount Sinai. And what a precious introduction. Has that introduction become precious unto you? Are there souls that know what it is on the Sabbath day morning? Riddles, perplexities, and troubles, because that people, they have much to do with old things. They have experienced new things, and how perplexed they can be and can go so upside down where it seems that their faith suffers shipwreck, because those living souls, they shall have much strife, it is true. The Lord in his goodness, he grants those Elims. But then what a blessing it is to come up to the courts of the Lord on a Sabbath day morning, and then to hear that precious introduction that the Lord speaks to the soul. I am the Lord, Jehovah, that faithful covenant God who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. I am the Lord, thy God. That is what the church desires to hear. They need the confirmation. What a privilege when it may be used. And that people, they can tell what they have experienced. They have experienced matters more than emotion and feeling some conviction still a blessing, when we live not so easy over the world, but people. We need to become new creatures. And then, oh, the children of Israel, if we have met them at Mount Sinai, where the law was given, and we would ask them, can you now tell us what has now happened? And then they could tell us clearly how that the Lord their God, with that outstretched arm, has taken them out of the house of bondage. That people, they could tell us what we read in Exodus 2. Oh, that people under those taskmasters, the church knows what it is to be under the law, to labor there under, making those bricks the full number required. But, oh, they could tell us of the promise they have received by Moses' servant concerning deliverance. They could tell us how it went so different, hope to go from strength to strength. And soon in the promised land, and what has taken place, the straw was withholding, and Pharaoh demanded the same number of bricks. Are there souls that understand it? Oh, when it was lively, when it was good, when it was also tender, oh, then they hoped to become holier and holier. But when the Lord withdrew himself, and then still the perfect number of bricks, then that people of Israel knew what it was to be smitten, because the number of bricks was lacking. The Spirit teaches his child the exceeding sinfulness of sin and the justice of God, and that it needs to be satisfied. All we read in Exodus 2, that the children of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the house of bondage. Ah, the Lord has a people that has learned what it is to be under the sentence of death. But what have they done? They have done as the children of Israel, we read. They have sighed, they have groaned and wept, they have called unto the Lord, and we read that the Lord has heard their groanings. The Lord has remembered his covenant with Abram. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Ah, that people, they could tell us that they have experienced, that they have seen the omnipotence of that great God in the heavens, where the Lord has sent those plagues, and where the Lord has made a difference where there is no difference, that there was a separation. Ah, the Lord for his children is not a land of outer darkness, but still in the house of bondage. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And how was that went? Ah, then that people could tell us that there came a time where they have received instruction concerning a lamb, and that is needful, concerning the Lord's Supper, a saving knowledge, and the Spirit grants that need. Ah, for a church in bondage that could not come up with the number of bricks laboring under a condemning law, but then that people could tell us that they have received instruction concerning a Lamb. Oh, a beautiful type of the Lord Jesus Christ, separated for 4 days, and they could tell us how that Lamb was slain. The blood was gathered, applied to the doorpost, and then in that evening that the Lamb was roasted. Oh, what a beautiful emblem of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Lord's Supper. It is the broken bread and the poured out wine. I am the Lord thy God that have brought thee out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Oh, they could tell us how they were given to feast upon that Lamb, and it was required that the whole lamb was eaten for the true child of God. Oh, to come to a knowledge concerning the perfection of the Lamb, the sufficiency of the Lamb, and that he saveth to the uttermost. Oh, it is the work of the Holy Spirit to glorify Christ in the hearts of his true children. Matter shall be experienced. I am the Lord thy God that have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Oh, it was a night of deliverance. The Lord has said unto Moses, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And those are matters which the Spirit teaches the true and the living child of God. And I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Oh, then they were led. Oh, it is written, because that people, they were not in the land of Canaan yet, when all so different than they thought. All things have passed away. All things have become new, but still troubled with many and old things, do we not read a roundabout way? The Lord, he leads his Zion oftentimes in those mysterious ways, and the purpose that he may glorify himself a roundabout way. The Red Sea have tasted of that manna, water out of the rock, and then they have come to Sinai. And there the Lord has revealed himself, given his holy law, and they were given to hear those precious words, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Those are things that we need to learn by the instruction of the Spirit. Misery, deliverance, and gratitude. Our second thought, the threefold purpose of the law. And the holy law of God that reflects who the Lord is, his divine attributes. And now the law has a threefold purpose. And the child of God, they shall experience those purposes and all those three purposes need to be experienced to attend the holy table of the Lord. And then the first purpose, that is to show a sinner his misery, his lost state, because otherwise we can have a superficial confession concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. But for the true child of God, he becomes necessary, suitable, and precious. And they shall experience from what a great death and misery they have been delivered. And when they are given to see their picture in the mirror of the holy law, then it shall be what our Heidelberg Catechism concerning the Lord's Supper, not so long ago we have considered it, question and answer 81, for those who were truly sorrowful for their sins. They are given to experience the exceeding sinfulness of their sins. It is true, the Lord leads the one deeper than the other, but every true child of God, they shall experience the awfulness of sin. They shall know what it is to weep and to mourn. Christ in the Beatitudes in Matthew 5, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they that mourn, blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Ah, they have sinned against such a good, patient, long-suffering, and just God, which brings about separation. Ah, they become new creatures. Then things become new. They become mourners in Zion. They need to be reconciled. They need to be taught. They need to be instructed. And that is in the way of experience. Ah, the Spirit teaches by the works of the law. No flesh can and shall be justified. Have we learned it, people? Those are things that we need to learn. We need more than a few convictions and take the name of Jesus upon our lips. We need to become the sinner, the lost sinner, unworthy sinner, an hell-worthy sinner, and for such a one. And now the second purpose. Read that in Galatians 3, verse 24, that the law is as a schoolmaster to bring to Christ. And a schoolmaster that was one that would lead a child to a certain teacher. And now the purpose of the law is to bring a sinner to an end of everything of self, to teach that with everything they do, thoughts, words, and deeds. Oh, they hope to pay the price best works polluted with sin, and that they cannot stand before the justice of God. Oh, then as a schoolmaster, and then what a wonder it becomes when the Spirit opens the Scriptures, opens the Gospel. I am the Lord, thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Oh, when it may be shown, a lamb so perfect, without blemish, a lamb as a substitute, none else but the Son of God, who was taken upon himself his human nature, who has suffered, who has died, satisfied justice, glorified his Father's attributes, paid such a dowry. I am the Lord thy God, the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sins of the world, as so richly portrayed in the broken bread and poured out wine. In the third place, it is in the part of gratitude. John Flavel, he has written in his sermon, "The law sends us to Christ to be justified, and Christ sends us to the law to be reconciled." Thus a difference with the first purpose, the trembling sinner before that great, that majestic God at Mount Sinai. It was the church that was brought out of bondage. The reconciled sinner, we think of Lord's Day number 34. And what the instructors have been given to instruct concerning the way that the Lord leads his child. Lord's Day 23. Then it is in the context of gratitude. One of the Erskine brothers, they have stated in a certain sermon that for the child of God, that there can be those times later in life when they have not that tender and close life that Mount Sinai, that can quake and thunder so loudly. Moses, the servant of the Most High, that has led the children of Israel out of that house of bondage, he has stood also at Mount Sinai, and it is written of him in Hebrews 12, verse 21, "And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake." That is the mark of the true life, that there remains that reverence for that great and majestic God. Think of Isaiah in Isaiah 6, when he was given to see the cherubims, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Think of Ezekiel in Ezekiel 1, when he saw that vision which we have mentioned on Friday evening, he fell on his face. Think of the Apostle John, led so far in the mysteries of salvation concerning the three persons of the divinity. And then in Revelations 1, when he saw the vision of the glorified Christ, he fell dead at his feet. Thus that is the mark of the true work of the Lord, that reverence, that profound humility. Our third thought, thankfulness in the mirror of the law. Let us first sing Psalter 109, the fourth stanzas, the offerings on the altar burned gives no delight to thee. The hearing ear, the willing heart, thou givest unto me. Psalter 109, the four stanzas. third thought, thankfulness in the mirror of the law. The instructors concerning the holy law of God. We have also heard of that law in Lord's Day number 2. Whence knowest thou thy misery, Lord's Day number 1 and 2. Out of the law of God and its requirements. But the instructors, they have given the broad explanation of the requirement of the holy law and the part of gratitude. Why have the instructors done so? What do you think, congregation? When we think of the work of the Lord, when he begins that work, when the Lord sheds that love abroad in the heart, when they are given to look in the mirror, then it can be so tender. And then those souls, they do not need so much admonishment. We could compare them in family circles. There is a difference in children. And there are children, when they have done something wrong, only a look of father and mother, and they can have tears already. Oh, how tender it is in the beginning. What sinners they are. What weepers. Then they do not need so much admonishment. And alas, alas, all things have passed away, become new. Alas, alas, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. That as they went through that wilderness journey, a murmuring people, different sins committed, how soon there was a golden calf. And now for the true and living child of God, then in the part of gratitude, then from Mount Sinai, then it is declared what the Lord requires. And then committed so many sins after received so much good. A blessing for the child of God when it may be so. Because we have heard it out of Lord's Day 30, who are truly sorrowful for their sins. Oh, people of God, how far we can be from our rightful place. We can speak of sin, speak reformed, speak of Christ, but so little impression and sorrow of our sins. And now it is a blessing and a privilege when the Lord may use His holy law, and that we become so ashamed, so humble, then we shall not be a Pharisee in the temple, but a publican that stands at the back to commit such sin. And when the Lord may grant further instruction and further leadings to sin against the providing Father, the crucified Redeemer, the indwelling Spirit. And now it is so necessary, because in that way, then a poor sinner, then concerning that precious Jesus and His threefold office, prophet, priest, and king, how necessary and precious. And now concerning that law, not in general, but particular sins, that is where it must come each time by renewal. And to that end, our forethought, the careful examination by the first commandment of the law, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Is that now the thanksgiving? "I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." Is it not a shaming for the living child of God that He had to give such a commandment? "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Are there souls, when they consider the matter, to say it reverently, to feel sorry for the Lord, to have such an unthankful people? "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Another god is something which we love more, trust more, perhaps ascribe attributes to, that only belong to God. Martin Luther was an honest man. He has written, he received a dear helpmeet, Catherine of Embora, when he was 42 years old, bound together in love. And then he has confessed that there are times that I give more credit to my dear Katie than to Christ, who has done so much more for me. No other gods can be in so many different ways. We shall not enumerate them. All for the church, the wonder only becomes greater. The unfathomable, the unmatched love of Christ, that he was willing to give himself, that he was willing to betroth as such a black bride. And then our instructors, oh, it is a blessing when it may be used. Also in a week of preparation to come at his footstool and to need that blood, a token of his favor, then further and learn rightly to know the only true God, trust in him alone. What arms of flesh, we can speak reformed, but to know solely and only trust in the Lord for temporal needs, for our body, for our soul, with humility and patience, submit to him. There are souls that know it. Exercises concerning the third petition. Oh, how precious that he becomes who was set in the garden of Gethsemane, not my will, prayed to his holy Father, but thy will be done. Expect all good things from him only. Love, fear, and glorify him with my whole heart, so that I renounce and forsake all creatures rather than commit. That is that close. And that tender life, oh, come down with thy spirit upon thy church. That is now that thanksgiving. That is God glorifying. What a precious place. And to learn this all through that precious Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, rather than commit even the least thing contrary to his will. That is now true gratitude. Concerning the law, we shall close with it, because we must not make it late, because for our children, actually an hour later. But concerning the instruction out of the holy law of God, then we shall read, and that is also so fitting concerning the Lord's Supper, Lord's Day 44, there's ask, but can those who are converted to God perfectly keep these commandments? No, but even the holiest men, while in this life, have only a small beginning of this obedience. Are there perhaps souls that sigh a little relief? then you must examine, because there's more yet so, that with a sincere resolution they begin to live not only according to some, but all the commandments of God. And then question 115, why will God then have the Ten Commandments so strictly preached, since no man in this life can keep them? And then we have the 3 points concerning examination. First, that all our lifetime we may learn more and more to know our sinful nature, and thus become the more earnest in seeking their remission of sin and righteousness in Christ. Likewise, that we constantly endeavor and pray to God for the grace of the Holy Spirit, that we may become more and more conformable to the image of God, till we arrive at the perfection proposed to us in a life to come. Amen. Let us close. Lord, wilt thou grant those precious things unto us and our dear children? A word is missed. Wilt thou work it? When there is a building upon sandy foundations uncovered, and wilt thou remember thy Zion, Lord, do watch over us in this week, in the home, at work, on the way, at school, wherever we are called to be. Keep us from sin, harm, and danger. We remember that little daughter in the hospital, perhaps on the operating table, or maybe the surgery finished, it is known unto thee. Wilt thou remember her with her parents and family? Lord, now bring us safely to our dwellings. Wilt thou bless all the labors, the catechism classes, the house visitation, and bring us together for a weekday service. Pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing Psalter, Psalter 60, let us only sing 3 and 4. Show me thy paths, O Lord, teach me thy perfect way, O guide me in thy truth divine, and lead me day by day. And what follows, Psalter 60, only 3 and 4. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.